Warning, Afraid to Ask is an uncensored podcast that may include adult language and topics. Actually, not may, it will contain such things. If you get offended easily, please check out my Dry Bar comedy special or watch me on Gutfold. I love you, but this podcast is not for you. Mom, please turn it off. I love you. Turn it off. Okay, you can't say we didn't warn you. Please enjoy the episode. Check 1, 2.
Well, hello there, boyfriend. How are you this fine day?
I'm really good.
Is it working?
Yes.
Excellent. Let's not touch shit.
I'm afraid to ask, but I have a great question.
I don't even know what I was going to say. I'm so disturbed right now.
You brought up a very interesting point.
I did?
This is Afraid to Ask.
Oh, hi. Hi.
With Jamie and Dr. Erica. You brought up a really interesting point last time we were talking. Point and or opinion.
Oh.
And that is...
What?
You said something about... You would never do something blacked out or someone cheated on. Did you say something like someone cheated on someone and their excuse was?
Yes.
So tell me what that was.
Well, so I was in college and I had a guy friend. He was like upset. He's like, my girlfriend cheated on me. And I was like, fuck that bitch. Right. End of story. Mm-hmm. You think it's done. And he's like, no. She's a great person. And she was just like really drunk. Like blackout drunk. And I was like so blackout that her like clothes got ripped off and she just opened her vagina and fell onto a hard dick.
And he's saying yes.
And then kept it pumping. And he was like, yeah, pretty much. She just like really enjoyed every thrust.
Jesus, I'm getting angry.
And I was like,
he's saying she didn't remember it?
No. It was consensual.
But blackout.
Blackout where she like had no...
I don't know. This sounds
moral
really...
conscious and was like, I forgot I was dating someone for 2 years.
So just part of her blacked out, just the
but
part
that
was committed.
An excuse here. For me, it's like if I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it sober. I'm going to do it drunk. I'm going to do it high. I'm going to do it wherever.
Yeah.
Because there's a certain level where you just say no. Like I'm not going to get so drunk. I'm just going to go kill somebody. For
yes.
This girl, her excuse was, I am such a nice girl. I would never cheat on you. But when I'm drunk, my vagina just likes to make friends with every dick it sees.
Yes, let me slow this down.
And he believed her.
Don't, and stay on this, we gotta keep talking about this. It's really important. There's so many problems with her story. Blackout, if she was truly blackout drunk, she wouldn't even tell him she cheated on him.
That's or true, she wouldn't remember,
she
right?
wouldn't even remember. He would, or maybe he finds out and she says, oh my goodness, I don't even know about that. There's like a thing called the brownout, which is where you like flash in and out of consciousness. And you remember things that are...
Serious?
Yeah, I think a brownout is a thing, right? Maybe that's a... That's jargon or Urban Dictionary, but it means like you
what?
Remember some stuff.
I've never heard of that.
This is where you... Have you ever been blacked out and...
I wouldn't know. I wouldn't remember.
Okay. Have you ever been partially blacked out where you kind of have flashes of the night?
I might have been beiged out.
No. You told me... Didn't you tell me once you cleaned your whole house blacked out?
So then I remember. So again, I don't know what shade of like gray that
do you
is.
Remember? So you had a party.
I get shit.
You woke up, the whole house was clean. Do you remember
and
any of it?
My definition of like super drunk is a couple drinks where I'm like silly, but like I'd never fall onto a penis. If someone asked me a question, I might remember, but I wouldn't remember the whole conversation. And I like to clean.
That's
so
a brown
I got stressed out. I hosted a party and all of my guests left and I was very happy and intoxicated. So I basically cleaned my whole house with a toothbrush and I woke up to like magic elves. I was like, oh, they cleaned it. I don't remember.
So
I
no memory.
Cleaning, but I don't remember 4 hours of cleaning. I just remember being happy.
That I think is a brownout. Could be wrong, but I like
so
that.
So I remember the dick. I just remember the first thrust, not all of them. Aren't you still guilty then?
Wow. Yes, of course you are. Yes, I agree. I think that you... I have a crazy medical question.
I
that
suppose blackout is defined differently by people.
Blackout, I think, means you totally don't remember.
But you're right. She clearly remembered to say that she had sex with somebody.
I'm going to spring a medical question on you that I would guess has no answer, so no
oh,
pressure.
Oh, boy.
I would say this has no answer.
I didn't feel like working today, but go ahead.
I would say there's no... So I agree with you. I don't think people would do things that they wouldn't normally do when they are drunk. Let's not even say blacked out. Let's just say like really, really drunk. I think your inhibitions are lower, but if you truly... I don't think you cheat on somebody you really, really love if you're super drunk, unless you were going to anyway.
You would do it sober too.
Yeah, I would do it sober because I'd be able to drive home, make sure I covered all my bases and she wouldn't find out.
Bought plan B ahead of time.
Right.
So I think
the problem is...
It feels like a lie, like a cop-out to be like, oh, I drank too much, forgive me.
100%.
Because, yeah, I've done stupid stuff drunk versus sober, but I've never done something I wouldn't do in other circumstances.
Killing someone is the ultimate example.
Well, that's why I said that. I know that's extreme, but I feel like cheating is too. Like, it's so disrespectful to be like, I had a great night out with the girls and the bartender, he was naked, so I had to help him out. Mm-hmm. No, you didn't.
Do you know why I feel crazy today?
She sucked.
You know why I feel crazy today, right? And you probably know what this medical question coming up is.
I don't know the medical question, but I know why you feel kind of inebriated.
Yeah, because I had a colonoscopy yesterday.
Yay!
And I know many people have had colonoscopies.
Ah.
But it was, there was a lot of very unexpected things. I had a night of prep, which a lot of people have had, and you drink clear stuff. It's like 24 hours of clear stuff before the, there's so much to talk about here. What I was going to go to was, let me tease it a little bit. I think we talked about it before. I have a real problem with any sort of bodily functions in front of someone I'm dating. Even had problems when I was married doing bodily things in front of someone. And when you prep for a colonoscopy, you are encouraging, you are about to have some bodily problems. Some things are going to happen because the goal is to have the stuff coming out of you be clear. And I'm talking all of it. So you're taking like a year's worth of this laxative and whatever, and you're going to, and so I was going to stay in a hotel, and we decided we were going to take our relationship to the next level, and I was going to stay at your house, but you found a bathroom for me, an upstairs bathroom, if I had to, and this is really, that was, it's an uncomfortable night. I enjoyed the fasting part. There were moments when I was starving. It's like, I think I didn't eat for 30 hours.
Most people actually complain about that more than anything else, even more than the prep. Did you know that? They complain that they can't eat for a day. Most patients get more mad about that than even having diarrhea.
Do you know the minute you tell, it's so mental. It's so mental because we were sitting in your office and you had thought I could eat till 6 p.m.
Uh-huh.
And we were like, what should we get for lunch? And I was on Uber Eats looking at the Greek place. I was going to order it and surprise you from the Greek place. And then you texted the your butthole, the butthole guy, and you said, you go, hey, and he goes, oh, Jamie can't eat it all. That does sound weird. Jamie can't, sounds like your pin pal. We saw a license plate yesterday in Idaho. That
jeez,
said
pin wow. pal.
I listen, my excuse
are
for,
you still fucked up from yesterday?
For anything that happens today, that's what I wanted to get to. So anyway, everybody knows about this prep.
Well, we've been over it. At least you'd say the same stuff as you would if you were sober, because
that's my question.
What's your question?
So prep
get
was
to
interesting.
The point.
Prep was interesting. I did the deed. I drank all the... Oh, but the thing was, as soon as you told me I couldn't eat, starving.
Yeah.
Upset.
Yeah.
Do you know they say that about smoking? Do you know
about
how...
About everything. We don't like to be told no.
Do you know how mental smoking is? Do you know there are smokers that smoke packs of cigarettes a day, but they fly on airplanes? A bunch of people that fly on airplanes smoke cigarettes. They don't go to the bathroom and smoke, though. It's because you can't smoke on an airplane. It's not up to them. There's a lot of like cognitive behavioral therapy to quit smoking is like learning that when you are in certain situations and you're not allowed to, you're not struck with the crazy urge. So
fresh diets always fail too.
Yeah. But as soon as you told me I couldn't eat, I was starving. And then it got better. I had some chicken broth and it was amazing. I wake up. I got a point. I don't drink. I haven't drank in many, many years. I did a little bit of ayahuasca 3 times in my life, but I feel like that was very specific. It was under a lot of guidance. It was very therapeutic. There's nothing fun and party-ish about it. I had a guide, like professionals. I did it with medical staff around me. So I did ayahuasca. Marijuana, I used to take a tiny bit at night to go to sleep. I stopped that because one night you called me and I started a huge fight over nothing. Or there was a huge misunderstanding. And I go, I don't want to like not have my brain anymore.
Which
so I stopped doing that.
Apparently you would have fought with me sober too. But continue.
Yeah, so I guess I didn't think about the fact that there was did I miss something?
Now.
Oh, but I guess I didn't think about the drunkish, fucked up aspect of post.
Yeah, but these are also very, very heavy hitter prescription IV medications used for sedation.
Do you think recovering drug addicts, some of them say do it with nothing?
We've had patients ask to have very light sedation or even just gas because they're very concerned about the high that they'll get. And then the flip side, patients who abuse drugs actively require a much higher dose, so we need them to be honest, so we give them the appropriate amount so they're not uncomfortable during the procedure or awake and writhing on the table. And, you know, a colonoscopy, it's not fun, but it's not as invasive as, like, open heart surgery.
Right.
So there's varying degrees of how safe you have to be. But yes, in general, if you have drug addiction or sobriety, both of those really matter. And that's why they ask you those questions right before they take you back, because they have to be prepared for what kind of patient they're going to be anesthetizing.
That's a good point. You know what, though?
What?
They didn't ask me that question.
Well, yes, they did.
They didn't say, did you ever have an issue? They said, do you
Not
drink?
I go, nope. They asked current.
But what if I had an issue with something I quit for 10 years?
They didn't. Yeah, they don't. They ask about active drug, alcohol, tobacco use.
Yeah, but what if I was a I guess that would be my responsibility to bring that up. That's
you
not
did
a doctor's.
Have a form prior, though, that has past medical history, and usually it will say alcohol abuse or drug abuse.
I just didn't even look at it.
Did you just say, I'm fine?
Yeah, and I don't know if I could say, I never went to like rehab or anything like that. I probably would have felt okay with it.
It really is for patients, like pain medication patients will say, gosh, I'm a recovering patient who struggled with drug addictive tendencies, so I'd like to avoid this at all costs. And that's really nice for me to know so that I can prescribe medicine that's more appropriate and won't unfortunately give them a little bit of something that makes them perhaps rebound.
So,
but your butthole was fine.
That was the great news. But I will tell you, and this might sound.
Oh, I meant like in general with the medicine they gave you.
Yeah,
like,
and you had told me that before I even had the colonoscopy. That you thought my.
No, actually, my exact words were, "How does it feel knowing one of my very good friends will know you much more intimately than I do, because he will be probing around in your butthole, which is something I never intend to do."
So. My fear, I understand. My fear going in was absolutely, I don't think it was the invasiveness because I knew I would be put out. That's happened to me before. I have a point to all this, by the way, something you don't know, I think. And so I took this, I've done that before, and it was magic. I took it and I woke up and the surgery was done. I had that once before in my life. So I only had this fear that I think everyone has of like a bad result. They're going to find something in there. I didn't realize if they find something in there, they might even just remove it right there. Well, he's in there, you're good to go. If it's bigger, he goes, we'll do a follow-up. But you have these things in your head where you go, I don't want him to go, oh my God, you have this. So those were my fears, and all I wanted was to have a clean bill of health. And so I go in there, I do the colonoscopy, I wake up, I'm expecting to see your beautiful face, and you know what I see?
Your butthole.
The inside of my asshole, we're in the middle of surgery.
Yeah.
And I wake up. I go, ah, it's like a tunnel. I saw a tunnel with a light, and I thought for a minute maybe I was dying, and you know the tunnel was my asshole. Do you know I'm not joking? I know you're not joking
because I videoed you afterwards and you told me this whole story when you were still fucked up.
Okay.
It was great.
So I wake up in the middle of the thing and I go, and I can't feel anything. It's not painful or whatever, but I am like conscious. And I think I said to them, wow, are we doing it? Are we in the middle of it? This doesn't hurt at all. And then I think maybe they gave me some more of the whatever the fuck it is. And I'm out. I wake up. I see your beautiful face. And I go, you know what kind of irritated me? After surgery, I said to Eric, I go, man, I loved your friend. He's like probably my favorite guy friend of yours. And I go, I remember thinking like, I wish he had like come into the room though after and like talked to me or said like, you're okay or you did good. And I go, nothing. I go, it doesn't even come in or say anything. And she goes, you talk to him for several minutes.
You invited him to your show and we tried to become best friends with him. He was very nice. He basically said yes.
Well, I have a history, by the way, of inviting people to shows. I got nearly arrested once and invited the policeman. Tried to give him a free ticket. It must be a default comedian thing. Anyway.
No, you were like, he's my best friend. Like, he pounded my asshole and I'm good.
No memory.
Well, that's normal, though. And that's why you have a family member or a friend with you. And then they print out information and you get it later. So you didn't do anything wrong. But it is crazy how, like, you're awake, yet your memory is completely gone for hours afterwards. Like, I could have fucked with you a lot more, but I'm a nice girlfriend. I did not.
I think there was a moment where you were fucking with me because I told you, like, it'd be funny to videotape me. And then I know that there was a moment yesterday where you thought to yourself, I need to stop fucking with this person. This is, like, a little more serious than I thought. And, because what I think is, I don't feel like I'm in danger. I could drink or not drink. I don't never had a history with drugs, but there was a moment yesterday where I was like, I don't like the fact that I feel like I just drank 100 beers and I don't want to do this. This is not what I do anymore. I don't want to be fucked up. I felt like I was like drunk. It made me very mad and uncomfortable, and I wasn't in my right state of mind, so I was kind of overreacting quite a bit. And it was really hard because what I don't think I knew, the other thing is, like, you're a doctor. You told me everything I needed to know going in. But what I think we didn't expect was, I think I might have gotten a little bit of extra go back to sleep later than we thought, or maybe a little bit more because I did wake up. So I might have had a little bit more than other people, a little more messed up than other people. And why, the reason they tell you to bring someone with, they don't even let you in if you don't have someone to drive you home.
Yeah.
Because it is like, the phrase is functioning alcoholic.
Oh, yeah. You'd you're never, incredibly messed up after these drugs.
But you don't think you are.
Feel like you're ready to go back to work.
You don't think you are.
Mm-hmm.
I go to you, I said to you, I go, it's 6 p.m. What did we do today? Mm-hmm. I don't feel like we did anything today. And you're like, you went to...
We had a great day. We had shopping. A shopping spree. We grabbed a fun coffee. Mm-hmm. We went bubble tea-ing.
We did.
We had a really fun lunch downtown.
And then remember, you were like, you banged that guy. You don't even remember?
No, he banged your butthole. But
oh, I was trying to go back to the cheating thing. Like, I don't remember.
How did it feel that like one of my really good friends was like... parting your butt cheeks and just going in for the kid?
I don't think that's
like, is that a good thing because you know that like I trust him and I know him really well? Or was it awkward because you were like, ah, like she's had drinks with that guy and he really should have been taking me out for drinks?
I don't medically remember him opening my ass like a vice, and I'll be honest with you, it's not funny, but I'm gonna tell you the truth, it made me feel better that there was a guy that you knew was really good. It would be like if you said there's a comedy show this weekend, this guy's performing, and I was like, fuck no, go to a movie instead. Or if I go, that's my friend, he's hilarious, you got to go see that guy. I felt like it was like, and on a much more important level, this safe thing where like you recommended to me the best possible dude. So I loved your friend prodding my asshole. Can I go back to a thing though? The problem with this medicine is that you don't know you're that messed up. And so like a bunch of stuff happened that I'm still a little bit uncomfortable with. I remember there was a moment where I said to you, can I meet you in that restaurant? Hey, my manager's called me. We're going to go over like 10 deals or something. Only last night did I say, you know what? I remember turning something down.
Yes.
I remember accepting.
Like, I should probably call
him. Yeah, and I go, I remember accepting something, and I don't know if it was. I remember having to make like a kid decision. Like, my kids have spring break for 11 days. I could accept this gig that I think is good, but it would shorten my time with them. I remember making a decision like that, and I did not like it. I did not like feeling like that. That was the hardest part for me.
I told you I would take your phone from you all day yesterday, and you said no thank you, and you thought it was weird. And then last night you were like, oh, fuck. Now I know why you said that you'd offer to just put my phone like hidden somewhere in the room so that I wouldn't get it until like nighttime.
Yeah, and I said no. And then you know what else I wish? I wish you'd tape my fucking mouth shut. I wish I hadn't talked to you. I wish I hadn't talked to any people on the phone. It made me, everything's fine. Like, I followed up with all that stuff and it's fine. But with you, like, thank goodness you're very, it's so funny because of, you always have, there's people around that, I always say goodness when I'm near you instead of God. But thank God you're, like, as understanding as you are, because some crazy shit happened yesterday.
It was a little crazy.
Because it was funny at first and then it, like, wasn't that funny. And then I remember I was like having a great time, and then I wasn't having a great time. I was having almost like an ayahuasca level trip where I thought, started thinking about like terrible things that happened to me and like all this weird stuff. And then I said some stuff to you. You asked me, oh, this was even leading to a question, my medical question that there's no answer to.
What is it?
I was going to say, I'm waiting. You asked me what my biggest secret was. You're like, do you have any secrets?
That's not my medical question, but yeah, okay.
That's not it. First. You asked me what secret was, and I told you a couple things. This is, so I'm not afraid of you in that state. I wouldn't be afraid of telling you anything.
Oh.
At all. So like if you said like, what is a secret, whatever. I think the only mistake I made was maybe I told you I loved you too much or something, or I told you some plans I had for us. Like that was the worst it got. But my question for you is, I feel the same way about, would I take fentanyl? Is that what I took?
You had fentanyl and Versed.
Yeah. You know the patient's a drug addict when they're about to be anesthetized and they're like, I got this. I got it in my bag.
I'll dose adjust it myself.
So I think
make fun of that, but it actually happens.
Yeah. So my theory would be, I don't think you would do anything in that state that you wouldn't do in a regular state, much like your theory with being drunk.
I disagree.
Oh, you disagree?
I do.
Okay.
I'll give you a free pass. Those medicines
if
are
I cheated on you?
No, but for the things that you said, it makes you've never, I mean, I've never seen you like intoxicated, so it's hard to compare. But like the things that you said, some of them were pretty fucked up. Not mean, but like way out of character.
Really?
And I just don't.
What's the worst one?
When you cried.
Mm.
But like
I cried about my dad dying or something. I said something about
bad, but it was like out of nowhere where you had like a panic attack and you were out of control of your own body. And I don't normally see that with people who are just on marijuana or alcohol, but I do see that with very strong IV drug use. So it's the same thing with these prescription medicines. So I do think that when we're saying you'd never do this or that with alcohol, marijuana, yeah, I think it's a more subdued high. With these really strong aggressive medicines, I mean, think about the stories where you hear of people like eating other people and not remembering.
Eating other people?
Yeah, on methamphetamines.
Oh, like the Florida bath salt situation?
Bath salt stuff can do it. So it's the level of high that you have. So what you had yesterday was really fucked up. So I was actually quite pleasantly surprised at how appropriate and kind you were and how thankful you were.
Oh, thank God.
How you weren't embarrassing, because I've seen, as the doctor on the other side of the procedures, I've done colonoscopies to patients. Like I've also done major surgeries where we cut from like neck to pubic bone and rip them open, and they're with those strong drugs for like 10 hours solid.
I just, so I guess I thought out,
they can beat you up. Like they try
from the say the medicine.
Yeah.
I think I just didn't want. We've been dating for a while. It's been almost a year. I don't know if I wanted to shit and cry in front of you in the same 24 hours for the first time.
We did accomplish a lot in the last 24 hours. Our relationship has certainly changed.
A lot's happened. Can I
be? You know what I think was interesting?
What?
That I had sympathy diarrhea for you.
So crazy. So I was. We did keep.
You just blew out.
What did I miss? No, I'm still on it. I'm still on it. I did choose a different restroom that was upstairs in your house. And did you know every time I went upstairs, I started by turning on the faucet, closed the one door, closed the other door, and I turned on the shower and the blower for the first cut. And then like the 13th time, I was like, shit.
Fuck it.
This is too crazy. And people were awake in the house. It wasn't just you. So I was afraid of people listening. And then,
yeah. It was on the outside of my house. I couldn't hear anything.
Do you really believe that you, so I think that type of separation isn't bad. To like, you know, you knew I was pooping. This never happened to me in my whole life, but it was still some separation. And then yeah, you go, my stomach feels weird, and you had like a weird like a sympathy.
I had
connected
an ethereal response of like, I genuinely like shit myself silly, and I felt like telling you because you were embarrassed. And it's different than like, I don't know, like farting and pooping in front of you without any like censorship. You were like so polite, but like every 10 minutes until like what, 1:30 in the morning, you were like, excuse me. And you would like excuse yourself. Like, I know what you're doing. But at one point I was like, I feel bad for this guy and I want to come down to your level. Yes, come down to your level. So I was like, I'm just going to full blown tell you, I just shit myself rotten.
That was nice. It was nice of you. I appreciate you.
And
the
I
first
felt fine. I genuinely think it was a psychosomatic response.
It's crazy.
Which blows my mind. I really do think I felt so bad for you, and I saw you fucking shitting like 500 times upstairs.
Yeah, not the
that
act,
I was like,
but
poop,
leaving.
Poop, poop. That suddenly I was like, I think I'll have diarrhea. And then I had a second episode of diarrhea. And then the next morning, I shit myself two more times.
Wow.
And I told you.
You know, the final episode of diarrhea was a little bit of a disappointment.
I'm
like Seinfeld.
You're like looking at me right now.
No, I love it. I'm trying not to say too much.
As a physician, it doesn't gross me out. As someone who's not medically inclined, it's probably a little bit of TMI.
That's the problem. I'm afraid you're going to go physician on me, and then you're going to turn into girlfriend and be like, fucking, this is too much, this guy. But I don't think you'll ever.
Here's where I draw the line.
Where?
I don't want to smell it or hear it or see it.
Yeah.
Because when I'm at work and I have to take care of a sick patient, yep. I have the ability
I feel that
to
I,
separate the two.
I feel the exact same way about improv.
But if I like go in the bathroom
improv
and
comedy?
I'm brushing my teeth and you're just like,
right.
I feel like that's kind of a respect thing that you've lost.
That's really nice.
But I wanted you to know that I was having diarrhea because I wanted to empathize with you a little bit. Mm-hmm. I knew I'd never get to the level of having 500 bowel movements in 10 hours, but I didn't want you to feel alone.
For anyone that's about to have a colonoscopy, first of all, get it done. It was not that bad, except for the crying and shit. It was really not that bad, and it's good to know. I think it's good to know. But I would warn, not only have somebody that can drive you home,
Have someone
you can trust or yeah. Nobody.
You know what else I would add?
Put your phone away.
Have somebody who really cares about you. Like I closet ate. Remember? You caught me with like fistfuls of like M&Ms.
It was nice. By the way.
In the actual pantry. And I would like chew. Like I had popcorn and I was like, get away from me.
That's
and
really
I was
nice.
Like chewing it because I didn't want you to like hear or smell or be like, oh, I'm hungry and feel like I was insensitive.
That was nice. You know, the first six times I used the restroom upstairs, I pretended I had a phone call. Not just to you, but there were other people in the house. And then one of the people, I go, oh, I got to grab this, whatever. I got to run upstairs and grab this. And then one of the people in the house said, is Jimmy just shitting? Is that a phone call mean shit?
I feel like what you should do is have like a Miralax colonoscopy party. Like how funny would it have been?
You mean more than one person?
Yeah, like if I also had a colonoscopy the next day and we had a different family member drive both of us and we both had to go through the prep together.
Yeah.
So we each had to separately like poop but be in misery together.
I think it's a good idea. And you know, you can't do that in a one bathroom house.
No,
you got to have several bathrooms.
Toilet.
Yeah. I had one bathroom for a while recently. This one bathroom's a tough life. A friend of mine, a comedian that a lot of people know who he is, he had one at the same time and there was this little bit of kinship.
No, not at the same time. The exact same day.
Yeah.
And
same time, same day.
Found out. And that's what I think is so cool. Keep going.
Did not plan it.
But I think that's really funny. People don't talk about colonoscopies. And not only did you talk about it, you're like, buddy, me too. We're both getting our asses explored. Same time, same day. Let's go.
It was nice. I messaged him and I go, in the morning, and I go, last night was tough, but I love how thin I feel. Because I didn't eat for so long. And he was like, dude, me too. You know what I'm worried about? I'm worried that I fasted for 30 hours and then went shopping and bought pants that may never, that I won't be able to wear.
God, you were fun to show.
That was fasting.
See, that's the high that's fun, though. You were happy. You were nice. You were conscientious. And you had, like, fun doing something you probably wouldn't have done if you were totally sober after your procedure.
No.
That's what we did.
I hate all that
shopping.
Shit.
And you got some kick-ass stuff.
We.
And you don't even remember it. It's like you just woke up and all this magical shit was in the closet.
Do you know what I used to do when I would get drunk?
What?
When I would get kind of blackout drunk. Sometimes I would order stuff for myself. I think my blacked out version of myself knew this about me. When I was like super blacked out, sometimes I would buy stuff for myself on Amazon.
What'd you buy?
And then I would subsequently completely be surprised. But I was able to surprise myself with gifts. Like I would go, what is this? That's exactly what I wanted.
I was just going to ask that. So were you like, oh, fuck yeah, drunk Jamie? Or were you like, fuck you, drunk Jamie? Like, did you buy the good shit or did you buy stupid shit?
So it was mostly good shit. But one time, I will admit that I woke up in the morning and I'd bought $3,000 worth of electric scooters.
What?
Yeah.
Wait, you did?
Uh-huh. I didn't want them.
Well, of course you...
I don't need $3,000.
The fuck?
It was for my children. Like, for me and my children. But you know those scooters you ride, the Lime ones or whatever? I was like, why are we renting these? Why don't we own these?
Please tell me you could return them.
I freaking canceled it. But the next morning, I was like, what is this? It was like an email. It was like, your purchase has gone through. It was like $3,700.
Holy shit.
Yeah, and so I canceled it.
I feel like
it.
That's what people do with Taco Bell, but it's like $150.
Yeah, that was a mistake. By the way, yeah, that was the biggest drunk mistake
that's
I've ever made.
Fucking
$3,000 worth of scooters. Did not purchase them, returned it. You did me a favor.
That's not that bad, though. I mean, that's fucking bad, but like you didn't do something crazy.
No. You did me a favor, though, by when I was messed up and you thought I might not remember. You knew some of this, that I might be a little bit loopy. You did not take me to Saks Fifth Avenue. You didn't take me to Barney's. You didn't take me to Nordstrom's. You took me to Nordstrom's Rack knowing that the craziest I could get, we were going to get some nice deals on some clothes. It was not going to be like the craziest. I bought so much stuff and I don't like trying stuff on. And I was still very loopy and I don't like trying anything on. I will buy stuff, try it on, return it rather than like try stuff on at the at the store. And so we went into the room, the what's it called? The changing room. So you go into the changing room.
Do you remember me grabbing your dick in the fitting room?
No, you did not.
Sure did.
That's a joke.
No, I dug down into your pants. And
jeez,
I said,
legit?
Well, add that to the list of shit you don't remember.
Why don't I remember that? Sucks. So
it was the best blowjob of your life.
You did not.
Everywhere.
That's not the true. Whole, that person.
How would you know? No, I just reached my hand down your pants and touched your penis a few times. And I was like, ooh, I've never been in a fitting room with a guy before. We should get busy. Ha 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 ha. Try on this sweater.
But it was more of kind of a jokey. Yeah. So then I started trying stuff on.
Yeah.
I try on one thing. I go, what do you think? And I like that one. I don't like that one. By the way, when I shop for clothes, I even in my fentanyl state, I like to do, I stole this from a podcast, but I do a no or a fuck yes. It's got to be a fuck yes or I don't buy it. So there were a couple I was like, I don't know if I, gone, right?
Oh, you were funny. I grabbed some jeans and you were like, these are good. And I'm like, I don't know if I like the color. And you just go, bah! And you just chucked them on the ground in the store.
No memory.
And then you politely picked them up. But okay. You were like, that wasn't a fuck yes. And I didn't know what you meant, but then you explained it later. Yeah,
so
you did that though.
We're trying Stefan. We're in the fitness room. It's tight in there. Tight space. Trying Stefan. All of a sudden, there's a knock at the door. Excuse me. I go, yeah? Lady's like, you guys can't both be in there. What's going on? She for sure thinks we're having sex.
Oh, yeah. She saw my shoes.
In the
and they were pointed
room.
Towards you. So like, mm-hmm. I actually buried my face into your penis at one point, and you looked at the mirror and you were like, oh, yeah. And
is
I
was doing it. I was clothed?
You were clothed.
Oh, just as a... You know, we did, though. We invited her in.
Well...
We did.
She said you can't have two people in there unless you have a disability or need.
So the door opened. She says you can't have two people in there unless you have a disability or a you can't try
some
and close by
need,
yourself.
He needs assistance.
And Erica, thinking fast, says, oh, he just had a medical procedure, points to my bracelet.
Yeah, you go, yes.
And I had like a thing.
And you had all of your like medical bands still on. And I was like, I really am in here because I don't want him to fall over. And she goes, oh my God, I'm so sorry. You can stay.
I'm so sorry.
But the funny part is like we high-fived afterwards like, yes, I didn't have to leave.
Yep.
And we could have like done stuff in the fitting room, but we were respectful adults.
I just helped
you try on a bunch of sweaters.
Yeah.
You did need assistance. You were fucked up.
I have no memory of that, but at the time, I feel like I wasn't fucked up. That's the problem with this stuff that you take.
Yeah. Well, I liked being in the fitting room with you, and I thought it was cool that they actually let me stay because I didn't want you to like fall over because you were kind of woozy. Do you, speaking of like your penis and sedation and stuff.
Okay.
Well, I was just thinking we didn't talk about like the what I thought was the funniest thing when I asked you to tell me your deepest, darkest secrets.
Oh, God.
When you came out of the procedure and they wheeled you back into the post-op room and you had like all your cords on with like medical stuff everywhere beeping and you're like, am I okay? And I'm like, yeah, tell me your deepest, darkest secrets.
So what if a listener said, man, you shouldn't do that to, what if he says something that he doesn't want to tell you.
Well, so you and I had talked about this beforehand. We're also very open, so I think I know like your secrets because they're not secrets to me.
What but if something super you, embarrassing though that
well,
I, you know,
I respect
know,
you so much that like I was prepared to cut it off before you went there. Like if you mm-hmm. ever started to be like, well, this one time that I
what?
Cheated on, I would have been like, I don't want to know about that.
You would want to know.
I think I would. Who? No, no, I what? Truly... It matters to
tough.
Me to not take advantage of someone. Mm-hmm. I like fucking with you hard.
I know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's fun. But when you're able to take it, and that would have been taking advantage of mm-hmm. you. So we had a set plan of like, okay, I'm going to push it because I was supposed to videotape you. We wanted to put this
I told
everywhere.
You a green
like,
light. I did. I gave you permission.
Yeah,
I gave
yeah,
you,
yeah, yeah.
I said
yeah.
green light on everything.
So I would never have done that if you were like, oh, please don't.
Mm-hmm.
But if it ever got to like that point where it was like, oh man, you really did say something you didn't want to.
Right.
We had talked about me saying, okay, we're done. We'll table this for another conversation.
There is like, a body buried.
Well, if yes, I would have fucking asked about that.
Yeah. There's
well,
some gray area though. Yeah, obviously not that, but
do you remember the deepest, darkest secret you told me?
I think so.
One of them was super, super romantic and sweet.
Okay.
So I didn't feel like it was a secret. It was just a kind thing that maybe you didn't want to tell me out of fear of like letting me down or embarrassment or honestly. Just
let's pause.
Putting yourself out there.
Let's pause. Just let people throw up. Okay.
And then you followed it up with, "I've got one more secret." And I looked at you.
I have no memory
and
of this.
You go, "I've got a boner right now." What?
That's not true.
Yes, it is. And you did. Your dick was hard and it was under the hospital blanket, so I couldn't really see. But you, I laughed just like that. And I go, "No, you don't." And you go, "Yes, I do. Erica, I do." And I go, "Why the fuck do you have a hard on right now?" And you're like,
"Clean bill of health."
Because I was just talking to you about like the romantic stuff. And I was just looking at you. And I'm like, "Nice fucking excuse." And you go, I just don't know. But I've got a fucking hard on. And the nurse is coming back in. And she comes back in. And I'm like, "Oh." And you just grabbed your dick. You put your hand over it. And you're
no
like,
memory.
Hello?
That's all true.
I didn't see it. I didn't feel it. Yes, I'm not messing with you. Okay. But apparently your deepest secret after a colonoscopy is that you got a hard on.
Okay. Well,
but then anybody, you did nothing about it.
Yeah, there was nothing I could do about it. Yeah, it's all a blur.
Well, you did change in front of me, like completely naked, like rip off your clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, I go, "Do you remember this part?"
I have no memory of
wait,
any of
for
this.
Reals? You don't remember?
No. There's just you in the room or other people?
It was just me. And the nurse was like, "Okay, like it's time for you to go."
Did I have a hard on?
And you go, "Well, how do I do this?" And you started to try to rip out your IV, just barely.
Whoa.
And you're like, "What do I do?" And I go, no, stop. She'll take care of it. Mm-hmm. So she takes all the cords and IVs out and everything. And she goes, "Go ahead and get dressed." And this is right after your hard-on comment. So you rip off your hospital gown. And you're, I mean, it was definitely big. And
it was big. It was, you mean it was like erect? Oh, jeez.
It was like the middle one.
Oh, yeah.
Where it was like swollen, but not like at attention.
Right.
So like I could tell you definitely had one and you were like coming down.
Okay.
And I go, "Wow, you definitely left with more than you came in with."
Wow.
Do you remember what you said to me?
Mm-mm.
You go, "Yeah, he's such a great guy. I just asked him to add on the penis enlargement special when he was already at my asshole." And I go, "I told you it's great when you get to have procedures from my best friends."
I did not say that.
"We got to invite him to my show."
Oh no. I'm afraid my level of comedy goes down when I'm under sedation.
I can't believe you don't remember any of that. But the funniest part to me is I told you this entire story last night at dinner.
You did?
And you were like, "I can't believe I did." I told you
I don't remember it, being at dinner last night.
Still don't remember. We had steak. You cooked.
Oh, you mean at your house? At your house. I remember that. I think we went out to dinner. Holy shit. I have more questions.
An hour later, you asked what we had for dinner after you had cooked dinner.
It was yesterday was nuts. Yesterday was an absolute blur. I have more questions, but I'm afraid to ask. Coming up on the next episode of Afraid to Ask. That would have been cool if you double ruined it.
What the fuck? I thought that was nice.
I just mean it's very nice and kind, but it would have gotten in my head. Are you saying you wouldn't have told me?
No, I wasn't going to tell you. You son of a bitch.
It would have gotten in my head and made this shit.
Stop talking. I'm so red right now. Oh my God. I thought it was a good thing.
No, I would love my mom. But you know, it's a different. It's like your mom. Same thing.
I have hung out with you in ORs where my best friends have probed your asshole and I was fine with it. But inviting two mothers to your show is the fucking like nightest to our relationship ending.